Well, so far we have an interesting Thursday afternoon going on. Apparently there was a high-speed car chase in Washington that ended with the driver of that car going after the Capitol building, at least ramming into one of the barriers around the Capitol building. The driver left the car and was then apparently fired on by Capitol Police. The incident at this point appears to be winding down. There is a press conference scheduled for the next few minutes. And we'll dip into that, if all possible, to keep you up to speed on what's going on Capitol Hill. Back to regular life. Joining me now from the food bank, the umbrella organization of all of Michigan food banks, Karima El-Amin. Good afternoon, Karima. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine. We may be interrupted at some point here when the press conference on this shooting on Capitol Hill takes place, but we'll
totally understand.
We'll chat away as long as we can. The reason I invited you to join me this afternoon is was talking with Ann Lipsey from Loaves and Fishes, one of our pantries here in Kalamazoo.
Yes.
And she said they're just coming off the two biggest months for serving clientele that they've ever had. And that makes me wonder, what impact does the government shutdown have? And that's why I invited you. What impact the Women's and Infants WIC program, Women, Infant, and Children's program, that funding is going to dry up in the near future. Is that correct?
Yes, from what I've been told, I think Monday is the end date for it. And I can assure you that we've already gotten calls from, I won't say particular names, but we've already gotten calls from certain school systems that have told us, one of the largest ones in the state actually, that if it actually does go through on Monday and WIC does close, they're going to be needing our assistance, meaning the emergency food banks across the state of Michigan, to help supplement those parents who won't have their produce, or their milk and their baby formula and those things that are vital nutritional and just daily sustenance needs of mothers with young children, because the program actually works for children 5 and under. And so we have a lot of families, primarily most of our pantry visitors are families with young children. So if this program is shut down on Monday, it's going to have a dramatic impact on the emergency food system in Michigan.
We'll come back to that. What impact will there be on SNAP, or what many of us still refer to as food stamps? Will the government shutdown have any impact on that?
Well, as far as we know, the benefits will be issued for October, but if the shutdown continues, it's unknown how benefits will be paid in November. And if that were to happen, unfortunately, a lot of those people who already receive SNAP benefits at times of the month don't have enough food and have to come to a food bank. But if they have no SNAP at all for the entire month, that is going to have another dramatic impact on the food banks. And one of the things that we've been talking about across the food banks in the state is, how do we address the need? What are we going to do? Who are we going to depend on? And what we've been saying is that we're going to have to go to our donors, people like you and I, and ask them to dig in and to help us be able to help those in need during this crisis time.
Mm-hmm. How many food banks are there in the state of Michigan?
We have 7 food banks, 4 distribution sites, and we have over 3,200 members in our network. And those members are church pantries, community organizations, soup kitchens, homeless shelters that utilize the food from the Food Bank Council of Michigan, regional food banks, and we're in all 83 counties as well.
Okay. Have you been experiencing any challenges in just meeting the demand as it's been? As I said yesterday when chatting with a local food pantry, July and August were the two biggest months for serving people they've ever had. Are they outstanding, or has the whole state seen that kind of activity?
I don't have numbers in front of me, but I can tell you just anecdotally that absolutely. See, the issue with the summer months is that those children who are normally fed lunches in the school system or breakfast in the school system through the school lunch and breakfast program, they don't have those programs. And because of that, they're depending much more on food banks, particularly our mobile food pantries that are going into communities so people can have access quicker and more efficiently to those foods. So, yes, we do see a rise during all those times of the year when children are home. This also happens during the Christmas holiday, which is coming up, as well as the spring break holiday.
Okay. And in general, are food banks able to help all the people that need help? I guess that was the question.
Unfortunately, no. I do know of several pantries. You know, the desire is there, but we run out of food. We have people that are coming. They're standing in lines for hours to get the food that we do have. And when we run out, we run out. And unfortunately, we have each one of my food banks across the state in all 7 regions have long waiting lists of organizations and pantries and churches that want to be able to get food from our food banking system. There's just not enough.
Okay. And how many children are served by WIC?
The amount of children are served by, we're about 200,000 women and children in the state of Michigan.
Okay. And so that's an awful lot of mouths to feed beginning next Monday if the WIC program goes on hiatus.
It is an awful lot of mouths to feed, and it's something for all of us to kind of take stock, regardless of what political affiliation someone has. These are hungry people. They're hungry families. And what I like to do is to give people an understanding that the WIC is the one thing that's impending really close Monday. However, a lot of those people that will be on our lines that are currently on our line, we make a lot of assumptions about who. We have a lot of people who are still trying to recover from the economic collapse back in 2008. We have a lot of our veterans coming in, a lot of our elderly who are not able to make it. So when you have this compounded, when people are barely able to get moving forward, and then we have something like this happens, this is going to further strain the already scarce dollars and food that we have. Now, we are really good at getting the food to the people. Our farmers have come alongside us tremendously with more donations, but we're going to need more help from the everyday, you know, person on the street and in our communities and our neighborhoods to dig deeper and to, you know, maybe buy a bag of groceries for themselves and one for their local community instead of donating $25 this year to your local, donate $50. Because unfortunately, when you have these type of situations, and it may be only a week, let's say with a furlough, it can take those same individuals who are on the fringe a whole year to recover from a week's worth of absence of pay or a week's worth of absence of their allotments in food and dollars.
Oh, yeah. When you're living paycheck to paycheck, missing even a portion of a paycheck is a disaster.
Well, you know, I always say that living paycheck to paycheck, to be honest, is a gift. Most of these people are living what I call check to Monday. And that is, you get paid on Friday, you pay on the past due bills that you have, and you buy a few things that you need. And on Monday, you're broke, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do to the next 2 weeks. So people who are living paycheck to paycheck in today's economic times are actually doing pretty well.
Okay. If people want to stay on top of this, how would you suggest they could do that?
Well, they can look at our Feed America National, feedingamerica.org. They can go to our Feed Michigan to help us in terms of donating to feedmichigan.org. But we have lots of partners, Feeding America, our national, as well as No Kid Hungry. And then you can go to your local food bank's website, and we are updating and keeping up with things constantly and keeping everybody informed and keeping ourselves informed of how these things are going to affect us and what we're going to do to I won't say what we're going to mobilize, because we're already mobilizing. What we're going to be doing now is giving out information on how our communities and our friends and neighbors and our partners around the state can help us do what we need to do to ensure that those people that are going to be needing us won't have to suffer too much.
Okay. Would you be willing to come back next week and give us an update on where things stand and what the needs of people in the state might be at that time?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to.
Thank you very much, Karima. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Karima El-Amin, she is the director of the umbrella organization for all of the food pantries in Michigan. The next few days are going to be significant, especially for, as she was telling us, the 200,000 people in Michigan that depend on the WIC program to feed mothers and children. And the food pantries were stressed to begin with, and the federal shutdown is making a bad situation worse. We're still waiting on when that press conference to explain what happened on Capitol Hill this afternoon is going to take place. And we'll bring that to you when it happens. Two, 71 degrees on the outside. Multiple shots were fired on the west front of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. During the 2 o'clock hour this afternoon. Congress briefly went into lockdown. That has since been lifted. Early reports indicate that the incident began at 15th Street and Pennsylvania Northwest, where a car slammed into the south side White House gate and was then chased by police to the Capitol. Police say that multiple individuals were injured and that the suspect shooter, a female who had a baby in the car with her, is now dead. Representative Tim Griffin, a Republican from Arkansas, has already seemed to blame Democrats for the shooting, tweeting, "Stop the violent rhetoric, President Obama, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi." On Thursday morning, Griffin tweeted, "Is violent Democratic language resulting in real violence?" He has since apologized. "The shooting today is a terrible and inexcusable tragedy and an act of terrorism. No one but the shooter is to blame. I tweeted out of emotion, but agree that the timing is not helpful." And we're waiting on a press conference from the Capitol Hill police. We are told pretty consistently here that the press conference will take place at any moment. What I can tell you is the scene on the streets appears to be winding down. Still a few police cars and firemen, but the majority of the commotion has subsided. And so this incident appears to be coming to a close. CBS News, at the bottom of the hour, we'll have an update for us, and we'll keep an ear to the ground and try to dip into that press conference as it goes live sometime here in the next few minutes. The WKZO AccuWeather forecast, mostly cloudy, warm, and humid this afternoon and tonight with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. A high of 75, a low tonight, 63. Sunny, partly sunny, very warm and humid tomorrow, a shower or thunderstorm in spots. Variably cloudy, warm, and humid with showers and thunderstorms on Saturday. Some of those storms may be strong and gusty, especially in the afternoon. Saturday's high, 80. Sunday, perhaps a morning shower, otherwise breezy and cooler with clouds giving away to some sun, and the high, 68 degrees. Hey, Michael, the other day we were talking about the government shutdown, canceling the Army-Navy game.
Actually, it's the was the Navy-Air Force game.
Navy-Air Force, okay. And do you have an update on that?
Yeah, the Navy-Air Force game received the go-ahead to play the game because it's not funded by the government. So they are going to play, and also Army is going to play at Boston College as well. Army confirmed that in a statement on Thursday, saying, based on the decision by the Department of Defense, Army's football team will play at Boston College on Saturday afternoon. Service Academy football games are paid for with non-appropriated funds and have been long planned in advance. Such funds generally come from outside sources, and they're not approved by Congress. And also, the service academies have played before during a governmental shutdown. The midshipmen played at Air Force in 1990 under similar circumstances, and they also hosted Tulane in November of 1995 during a seven-day shutdown. So the Navy-Air Force game for the Battle of Commander-in-Chief Trophy will go on, as well as the Army-Boston College game.
All right. At last, some good news to come out of this government closure.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
We continue to monitor CBS, trying to catch the press conference from the Capitol Police on exactly what happened. The information that we have at this time, multiple shots were fired on the west front of the U.S. Capitol in Washington. This occurred a little over an hour ago. Early reports indicate the incident began at the White House when a car slammed into the gate at 15th and Pennsylvania Avenue and was subsequently chased by police to the Capitol. Police say that multiple individuals were injured and that the suspected shooter, a female who had a baby in the car, is now dead. And certainly some peculiar circumstances. I know one representative referred to this as a terrorist attack, but I don't know that most terrorists plan on taking their baby with them on the attack. Hopefully, we'll get some interesting and insight into this incident when we join CBS News coming up in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to WKZO in Kalamazoo, and our programming is being somewhat disrupted by the incident on Capitol Hill. It does appear to be winding down, and we'll keep you up to speed on what's going on there, and looking forward especially to the press conference by Capitol Police. That will be the first true insight into why a woman with a baby in her car would end up involved in this kind of activity. We dipped into the impromptu press conference following the shooting on Capitol Hill What we do know at this point is that multiple shots were fired on the west front of the U.S. Capitol during the 2 p.m. hour earlier this afternoon. Congress was briefly on lockdown. That, pardon me, that has been lifted. Early reports indicate that the incident began at the White House, where a car slammed into the South Side White House gate at 15th Street and Pennsylvania Northwest. And the car was chased to the Capitol, where the shooting took place. There are reports that the driver of the car is now dead, but that was not confirmed in the press conference. So this is still an evolving situation. We'll keep you up to speed. At the end of the press conference, the chief of Capitol Police said he would be back to the press at about 4:15. And we will plan on dipping back into that as well. Sorry to keep you waiting, Carrie. What's our word for the day?
I'm going to go with ominous, and mainly because I'm looking ahead to Saturday, where it could be kind of one of those early October severe weather situations setting up for us. We're going to have a big change from warm weather to noticeably cooler weather as we head through the end of the weekend. So there could be some strong storms around, maybe some severe weather.
How severe? Are we just talking, are we talking potential tornadoes or just straight line winds? Do you have a feel yet?
I think with this kind of a setup, you're going to be looking at the potential for damaging winds and torrential rainfall as well. I guess you can't totally rule out a tornado in a situation like this, but I'm going to be mostly concerned about damaging winds with this kind of a setup. It looks like as far as the worst of the weather is concerned, it might be a little later in the afternoon. We have a pretty strong storm system that's rotating through the northern plains. This is the same storm that's actually producing or going to produce some snow across the northern plains here over the next 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah, I noticed Rapid City getting a foot of snow.
Yeah, it's a dynamic system. We are at that time of year where we start getting the mix of the seasons. Here, we're not expecting snow, of course, but certainly we are expecting that quick change from the warm weather we have and have had to much cooler weather. And that change, I think, will come in for Sunday. Temperatures probably only getting into the middle to upper 60s. But on Saturday, it could be around 80. And again, those storms moving on in. I think the worst of it, again, later in the afternoon and during the evening hours.
Carrie, there's the tropical area of interest with the potential of turning into a hurricane in the Gulf. Serious enough that NOAA was calling back some of the laid off people because of the government shutdown. Is it uncommon to have a major snowstorm in the North Plains and some sort of tropical feature coming ashore in the Gulf of Mexico at the same time?
I think I would probably say that it's not the most common thing because of the fact that, you know, the big snowstorms usually don't start to occur until you start getting a little bit further along in the fall. But the one thing that is to note here is that when we get into the August, September, even October timeframes, we still do get tropical systems that make a landfall. So that's not terribly uncommon. A storm system this early in the year, you start to see these kind of storms affecting parts of the Pacific Northwest, the mountains, Cascades, certainly the northern Rockies. This kind of storm combined with a tropical system making landfall, I'll call it a little unusual. I'm not going to call it rare to the point that it never happens, but it is kind of a interesting combination of things happening at the same time.
What is the AccuWeather sense of the hurricane potential of the storm in the Gulf?
Well, right now we are concerned that this is potentially going to develop into a hurricane, a minimal hurricane here as it approaches the Gulf Coast. Right now it's moving away from the northern tip of the Yucatan Peninsula. There is going to be impacts along the Gulf Coast from coastal flooding and minor storm surge, beach erosion, gusty winds, and even power outages down downing trees. Even the possibility of tornadoes east of the track, that would put it in the crosshairs of, let's say, coastal Alabama into the western Florida panhandle. I think the biggest threat is going to be heavy rain and the possible flooding across the central Gulf Coast. And again, it is possible that this will try to develop into a hurricane before making landfall somewhere, I'll say, probably just east of Mobile at this point.
I appreciate your taking time to chat with us this afternoon.
No problem.
Thanks, Kerry.
All right, you too.
Kerry Schwindenhammer, meteorologist extraordinaire from AccuWeather. And yes, for those of us who are weather geeks, are you a weather geek, Michael?
I do like to monitor the weather. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's when I was a kid, my parents always saw me actually turning down the TV volume on the TV and then doing the forecast when the forecaster was up there. So they always thought I'd be a weatherman.
Oh, well, we may have you read weather later this afternoon.
Okay.
Then. We'll look for a dramatic interpretation of the weather as well. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Raj Taylor with you on a interesting afternoon, not just interesting weather-wise, in that Rapid City, North Dakota, getting a foot of snow, potential shutdown of I-90, the main east-west interstate through that section of the country. While we're looking at the southeast portion of the country, somewhere it appears going to end up with a hurricane this coming weekend. So a lot of action for weather geeks. Again, the breaking news this afternoon that we continue to monitor closely here at 590 WKZO is the shooting that took place on Capitol Hill. It took place following a car chase from the White House, where the car attempted to slam into the gate of the White House, and then was chased to the Capitol by Capitol Police. One police officer injured in that chase, not by gunfire, but by being struck by an automobile. The driver of the car, some reports are now saying, was killed, although that was not confirmed, at least what I heard, in the press conference from the Capitol Hill chief of police. And that may have just been omitted, but he said he was unaware of the condition of the driver of the car. And yet other reports say she is dead. One report that she had a child in the car with her at the time. And there's no report of the condition of the, as it was referred to in this report, the condition of the baby.
U.S. Capitol. So from here, everything's starting to get back to normal, but obviously a lot of shaken individuals on this day here on Capitol Hill. Reporting live, Mitchell Miller, WGOP News.
Thank you.
Well, we checked back in, and still no confirmation on what's the condition of the driver of the car that was involved in the chase from the White House to Capitol Hill. Thursday afternoon, Raj Taylor driving you home, Michael in master control. The story we're watching closely this afternoon, United States Capitol was placed on lockdown in the 2 o'clock hour this afternoon after a woman tried to ram a car into the White House gate and was then chased by Secret Service and exchanged gunshots with police, sources say. The suspect is who had a child in the car, was shot and killed, but a shelter-in-place order was lifted at 3 p.m. At least one Capitol Police officer was injured but not shot. This appears to be an isolated incident, said Capitol Police Chief Kim Dine. Both scenes are under control. President Barack Obama was briefed about the harrowing incident, which came in the midst of a government shutdown that has created a tense atmosphere, not only on Capitol Hill, but through the rest of the country. We will keep an ear on this for you as the afternoon progresses. And there is a press conference by the Chief of Capitol Police, Kim Dine, expected at approximately 4:15 this afternoon. And we will dip into that live for you when it happens. Couple of minutes before four, Raj Taylor taking you home this afternoon. Thought we'd take a quick look at gas prices. They continue to fall like a feather in that they're not going up and they're going down a penny or two at a time. Plainwell, I was there Monday and it was $3.29. It has drifted down to $3.25 there in Kalamazoo. Gull Road is the hotbed of prices, although the absolute best price in Kalamazoo is the Speedway on North Riverview Drive at G Avenue. That station is at $3.23. The other stations along Gull Road, starting $3.26 in Richland, $3.27 as you come closer into town on Gull Road. Pawpaw, $3.37, still the best price, except at M40 and M43, north of Pawpaw, $3.29 there. Down Three Rivers Way, $3.34, the best price, almost any station along US 131 on the west side of town. $3.17, the price in Sturgis and in St. John's, Michigan. No explanation for why Sturgis is blessed with $3.17 gas. Battle Creek, $3.28, the best price. That's at 11 Mile and I-94, there by the Firekeepers Casino. CBS News coming up. We'll get more details on the shooting that took place on Capitol Hill this afternoon. A woman attempting to ram the White House gate was chased down Pennsylvania Avenue. The chase ended at the Capitol building, where she was apparently killed. And along the way, a police officer was injured. We're expecting a press conference with more details at about quarter after four this afternoon. We'll be carrying that live for you right here on 590 WKZO. CBS News is next.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.